Okay, so we will start now with the final presentations. We will use microphones because we're going to record this final bit of the workshop. So first of all, thanks very much for coming. I know it's quite a big task to talk about such a complex issue within 2 hours, 3 hours. But I think it was successful. So we're going to start with the topic content, data, and technical aspects and questions they came up with.
Yeah, so we were the content and data group, and nobody cared about technology, so we thought we'd give it a try and include it. So so we tried to identify several major topics within the data and content department. So, and the first thing we really talked about is data management. So there's a lot of, we already saw there's a lot of applications out there, a lot of data out there, and on a lot of different platforms, and most of them are not communicating with each other. So there's a big question of how this data should be aggregated. So the big question first is, should we have a centralized or a decentralized data system? And which is then also asking the question, who is actually controlling the data, who owns the data at the end of the day? And there's already one project who was also presented here. It was MetaCollect. Yeah, MetaCollect, who is at the TU Berlin funded. And they're trying to look into this problem of how we're going to deal with all the data in the future. And of course, when we're talking about decentralization or centralization of data, we have to talk about standardization of data, because everybody's creating different kind of data, everybody's using different kinds of syntax, so there's a big mess out there right now. So we have to think about ways and maybe be inspired by what the OpenStreetMap community has been doing. So they came up with rules and certain structures, but the structures are flexible enough so that people can actually extend how the data is defined, how the metadata is structured. So we have to think about these kind of things. And of course, one thing, we don't really have an answer for it, but a big, big problem is the long-term solution. So how can we maintain data for a long time? How can we update it? And this actually brings us to the next step, is the data validation. So we thought a lot about how can we validate the data that is coming in, because at some point there's a lot of stakeholders, a lot of people being involved into this process. So one thing I think that is interesting, so there's a lot of stuff going on, but one thing that I found really interesting was data-driven validation. So for example, when we get some apps out there that people use to find places, can we use data-driven stuff, for example, finding out who goes to which doctors, for example, to find out which doctors are actually good, or maybe there are some doctors that don't offer the support that we think they offer, so that we can use some data-driven analysis to find out where the good stuff is. And also using the people who use the data as feedback channels, so that people can rate stuff, people can feedback on stuff, so that we have more, feedback channels that we can use to validate the data. Maybe somebody of the others want to continue, or should I?
Transformatting and translating. So we had a conversation about translating in terms of language was the kind of obvious one. So people can use these maps, but translating in terms of from the data into visualization so people can understand that data, a frame that comes a bit back to standardization so you can understand the data. The idea of automating, that aspect being automated. What else do we have? That's about it really on that. Do you want to do the next?
So also data usage and data need was a core for us to think about what kind of data and content we are actually talking about, because this is pretty abstract, and maybe this is something connecting to the other groups as well. So do I use a map and its data for orientation or for navigation, or is it more for like exploration or visualization? So I just want to see what's all there, and then I can kind of adjust my needs or my wishes accordingly to what's already there. And then another connecting to that was the context. In what context does this data actually make sense to me? So we have data that is very important in a very local context, where to get your SIM card or where to buy a certain kind of food. But it might be an overload to show this data all over Germany, because it's very context-specific, very local-specific data. So there might be a hierarchy of data and evaluation. What else do we have? Handling complex information. That's also interesting. So where we link to data outside of the map, and also connected to data that has no location, actually, so that cannot be mapped. But how can we include it to the map, because it's important to access, for example. But these are just questions, and we don't have answers for that. data generation?
The handling information that has no location data actually also goes back to the structuring standardization of data. So we don't only have to think about ways of structuring spatial data, we also have to think about semantic webs of data, this kind of thing. So how can we structure networks of...
We had also one thing in mind. Right now, by default, we were always discussing points of data. But of course, cartography and map mapping, we have much more complex forms and aspects that we can map. We have ways, we have borders, we have areas. We can be quite blurry. So when you do community mapping with pens on a map, you get to all these very complex forms. But then when we do a digital map, due to technical issues, we are kind of simplifying that. And then a lot of data gets lost that is kind of complex and shows suppleness in a way, in a sense. So that is something also we were thinking is interesting.
I think there was a comment as well earlier about some of the elderly population wanted printed maps, so they had a request to have these digital maps printed so that they could understand them. And I think we had a conversation about the context in which these maps are being used, and maybe you have a kind of community center where you can have an interactive map where these layers of data become understandable to everyone in all of the refugees, whether they have a smartphone or not, and it becomes a community point where the conversation happens, a meeting point over the data and over the mapping tools, because not everyone's got a smartphone, so maybe to get to everyone you have to have that other aspect. And also you talked about a project where we're giving the population the handprint and paper maps, which were then hand marked up, given back, and then scanned in, and that's a way of recording, you know, another form of feedback.
Okay, thanks a lot. Are there any questions regarding this topic? Okay, so let's continue with usability and accessibility.
Okay, so we tried to handle these different issues. Can you all see? Yeah. So we mostly talked about accessibility, actually. So the usability part was a bit of blurry because we didn't really talk about one specific tool. And so, but the main issue is actually, as the other group said as well, so we just thought the digital mapping tools are just part of an ecosystem, you know, where we have different things that you actually need. So it's, of course, we have these digital tools, but I don't think we will not get to everyone if we only use digital tools. So I think the paper maps aspect is still, you know, super important. And we also tried to come up with, you know, certain always concrete examples of what the next steps could be, what we could do for each proposal. And we thought, okay, definitely paper maps are you know, very beneficial, as it's like when you're going to come to a different city, go to a hostel or a hotel, mostly you will not get only the app, but you will get just a sheet of paper with the most important spots that are around where you are. So I think this goes, you know, this is the same situation. So I think this is something that could be done. And for now, I mean, we already have these tools arriving in Berlin and the Dresden tool and so forth. So maybe just printing out the points of interest and distributing them in where refugees live would be, you know, first very easy to do step of you know, kind of disseminating this information. Of course, we also talked about these physical spaces, pretty much the very same argument that you guys were making, because if we just talk about digital maps, we will not you know, reach everyone. We talked about also the question of female participation. So are, you know, do women always have a smartphone or internet access? Maybe not. So maybe if we also want them to get this information, they need to be more in touch with other people and, you know, get information through word of mouth kind of, distribution. One of the things that we thought was interesting when we talked about the accessibility in terms of digital maps was maybe we shouldn't focus so much on the on building new tools always on top of things, because there are already quite a lot of them and they work well. And I think now we can understand this as a first type of wave. You know, we've tried, like, this stuff has been new, so now this has been done. But now what's the next step? So what can we actually do with it? And I think the integration of the real kind of up-to-date, relevant channels of information is quite important, so that we don't, you know, make new platforms with new information, but that we just take the information that's already there. So maybe from Facebook groups, Twitter feeds, whatsoever. So, I mean, refugees use these tools, and maybe there's a way of getting this information from these channels and then making it wider available to others. So the other one was another topic that we talked about was very much the language and the translation part, because this is, I mean, one of the major issues, I think, when you talk about these things. You need to be able to understand a tool in order to use it. We thought about, okay, what could we do? I mean, there are already quite a lot of interesting good solutions for things. So, I mean, we have travel apps. If you want to use the public transport, all this kind of stuff, but we don't have to rebuild them and reinvent the wheel, but maybe there's a way to use them and to get them translated, at least the basic functions. So one of our concrete suggestions would be to, you know, talk to the authorities that are actually in charge, specifically in Berlin, maybe the BVG VBB, BVG. So, you know, just to get the word out that this is actually important, that other people can read this too, because the problem is not going to get smaller. I think more and more people are going to be coming. So at some point, this will become even more relevant. So why not start now? Also, maybe there's some type of interim solutions, so that we don't need to translate all the apps, but there's maybe plug-and-play type of ways that we can, you know, translate the basic content of the apps through Google Translate or other solutions, and also teach this to the people that are coming. So I think that basically sums it up.
One major aspect we were talking about was this self-organization thing when we talk about physical spaces. So make people possible or enable people to. Give the knowledge they have to each other. So create spaces where they can self-organize in a way and spread the knowledge.
Exactly. Perhaps also to, like, put a computer inside the lobby of a refugee place, or where a lot of these people are, in order to make the digital map accessible in a physical space, in a an open space. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot. So, any more questions to this topic of usability? If not, I think we can start with the community aspect. So.
Okay, community. When we thought about community, we thought about content creation. So the community creates content. So this is a very worthwhile chance that we involve the community by help us creating the content. And we have to look at the diversity at the community. This is also very important, because there's not that refugee group. There are many, many subgroups, and it's very important to differentiate those. And then we have the issue of community activation and promotion. So how do we promote our solutions to the community? How do we engage the community to participate? How can we keep them engaged so that they don't lose their engagement? And so more in detail, content creation means very practical. It's important that initiatives, organizations, or whatever who's responsible for any kind of entry, that he can edit by his own, and that they can maintain it independently, and that they can, so the data can stay up to date, and or maybe they want to deactivate the entry, etc. So there has to be a system that makes it possible to maintain the entries by those that are responsible for them, and maybe some kind of Bewertungssystem, how do you say? But this is a very difficult thing, because you don't want to dismiss any entries or any initiatives. So we have to think about that. And I think it's the same thing with the control over the content, right? It's also with the validation systems. Yeah. Then we have to think about standards. So it would be nice if there were standards, because that makes it easier for the community to participate, if they know how do you want the data to look like or anything like this, or if they know some kind of structure which they know from another project or something. So it would be nice to have some standards, or like a little bit more standard than it is now. Concerning diversity... content creation. I forgot the decentralization. So you talked about in the data group, or also is it good to have a centralized solution or a decentralized solution? It might be very important to have a decentralized solution, just because you can't. One team doesn't have the resources to maintain maybe a German-wide solution, but also the communities. In the places, so for example, the community in Dresden or in Berlin or in Hamburg, they are all very different, and they should maintain the content in their city because they know best what's going on there. So concerning the diversity, so the communities have many subgroups, and there's also a big diversity in the content the community would add to the platform or whatever. So it would be ideal if the solution could manage the complexity and the diversity of the content, and the solution should reduce the complexity of the content for the user, but the solution should not be that maybe a platform says, no, this content is too complex, we can't add it to our platform. So the ideal solution should handle all the complex information, so it can collect all data, but it should reduce the content in the second step to make it easier to consume for the user. Yeah. Then the community can help. Of course, they tell us what's needed, what are the requirements. This is very important to involve the community. And this is a very concrete solution. Maybe you have different maps. Maybe you can't put everything on one map. Maybe you just have different maps for different groups or communities. Mainstreaming is a problem. So maybe you don't want to be put in one group of refugees, and you never come out of that group. So maybe you communicate to the users as one big community or one crowd. So it's not okay, the website, you go this way if you're you're a refugee, or this way if you're a supporter, and so on. So that you can switch. So, for example, maybe you come to the country and you consume any offer, but maybe sometime later you also offer something, having a workshop or something, so that you can change roles. It's also community change. Was ist hier? Okay, noch weiter mal. Okay. Then there's the problem with the activation or promotion of a solution in the community. How to get our solution known by the refugees, for example. We have to create spaces where we can meet and communicate or talk about that solution. Maybe we should connect to the authorities, maybe those ones which are responsible for housing or camp. And multiplicators, do you say that in English? You should find multiplicators, so like people that trust or like your solution, and then you get it's easier to get access to the actual target group you have. So stick to people who are already engaged, maybe. Sustainability. So how can we keep the community we already have, so they don't lose focus, and maybe do something to improve the interaction between the communities. So maybe like an interconnection between like initiatives or projects. This would be important also. Thinking about those which are not the typical representative users of the community we all think of. So maybe like old people or very young people or people who are not at all familiar with technical things. So it is like the printing map idea also. But we have to keep those in mind. How can we really get involved everybody? So like the community we are targeting or reaching right now with our solutions or the solutions that are out there, that's really just a small part of the of everybody. You know? It's not everybody. So, yeah. Okay. Additions?
Okay, that's one question, I guess.
I wanted to add this proposal of like a TripAdvisor to have a sticker which is marking places that people feel comfortable to step in, like a graphic sign.
So also an idea to bring things from the digital space to the real space or physical space. Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now we will head to the last bit. This is challenges. I see there are many. Okay, Marison, you want to?
Okay.
Sure. Right. I guess we hang it up later on in a horizontal way so you can actually read it. we were in the challenge group and it was really, really good income. Raoul and the girl, I didn't ask her name, already had to leave, but they actually had really, really nice input. So we came up with the a matrix to organize the challenges that we have and put it into urgencies, and then if it was a short-term, medium-term, or long-term problem, and then the category of the challenges, which I had presented earlier today as well, what kind of scale we're actually talking about, like the apps, if it is a route companion, so if it's an app that needs to be done cross-borders, if there is a living in, so one that was a local app, so if it only concerns the city where you're staying right now. And the last one is information sharing, not only throughout borders, not only throughout anything that you can map, but any information that needs to be distributed as breaking news, as news flashes, throughout many communities, not only refugees, not only volunteers, but maybe anyone else. A lot of challenges were already described in the other group, so I actually don't have to talk about it anymore. Good night. So what was the focus in the end for our group is we realized that most challenges were categorized as metadata or data that is not locable or not. We cannot locate it somewhere, but it's yeah, pretty much fundamental questions. And, I mean, these are problems that we all together wrote onto the wall. And we kind of passed on making an app, we were more thinking about creating a network and what community would we need to make all these things work, distribute them, and also and all that. So another a reason or a theory we came up with that we all think more about general challenges is maybe that we are in a political status right now where even Merkel gets attacked about her plans, not wanting to change, and we are still kind of stuck in a certain blob where we don't know how to continue. So the network or policies that don't exist have to kind of emerge now to prevent certain migration problems, if you will. And we had, I don't know, we had a couple of best practices that we talked about from South Africa and Israel, what happened there, that we maybe can apply to the problems we had right now. But borderline, the biggest problem we kind of realized was that every community and every app that is already here kind of holds solutions, but we don't talk with each other. So there's just a gap that needs to be bridged between all communities. I think I could wrap it up with that. I will leave it at that. Thanks. Do you wanna add, like the people from my group, if you want to add something?
I'd just like to briefly point on the six square thing here. That's kind of the meta level where we were thinking about a kind of platform, internet-based platform, where all the different approaches could meet according to certain thematic or methodological clusters, and so that there is at least a meeting point where experiences can be exchanged. So that is the kind of internet solution approach, and the green on top is the kind of personal out-of-this-event approach to our host, the House of the Cultures of the World, asking, wondering whether you could imagine maybe to convene a next meeting in order to provide for some continuity of what we are now on a point discussing and have as outcomes so that it doesn't get stuck in the Märkische Sand, but maybe continues to work and maybe that you feel strong about inviting those working in certain groups to come here, to meet here in whatever, 3 months or 6 months in this year. And then maybe the self-organization of the working groups takes some more shape. And then maybe one could move from one place to another place, maybe to meet in Dresden or in Hamburg or in Munich, and then to continue this work at every time on a general level, what needs to be discussed on whatever federal or German-speaking countries or international or whatever, and then maybe with some specific parts in the city that we are visiting and hosted by. So that is an idea, a question, a suggestion, and maybe we might learn more about how to continue from here. Thank you very much for all your contributions, and thanks for organizing and hosting this here.
Okay, are there any more questions or people want to say something? Otherwise, I also want to thank you, and Eva probably too, for coming. And I know 3 hours is not much. That's why this is very important. Please sign up and leave your email address because we will also take pictures of this later. We will write it down. We will sum it up, and we will also provide all the links which were important today. So I like the idea of creating a platform, like a sort of, a blog or one website where you can find all these links, like mapping and humanitarian aspects or mapping and refugees, so that this whole dynamic and this group can stick together and, you know, exchange ideas. Maybe also meet once at map time, at a meetup with MapTime, maybe at Haus der Kulturen der Welt as well. So I thought you're right, Alcino, that we came now to a point where there are tools, there are ideas, and there's also a community, and I think it's a good point to sort of organize it and gather these ideas also digitally. So thanks a lot again, and please sign up here if you're interested.
Thank you very much, Ralf. There already was a list, and everybody signed already, and we already put it into the computer, and we will send this list to all of you. And I want to thank you again also for this very fruitful outcome of this workshop and very good idea to continue this in either way, digitally or physically, here also at the Haus der Kultur in der Welt. And I will bring this back to my colleagues and the group who initiated this Congress. Please, I just want to let you know, at 7 o'clock there will be this final discussion in the auditorium. I would be very happy to see you there. There will be a wrap-up of all the workshops and a discussion with the moderators. Until then, Weltküche is going to sell food and drink. When you get out of the auditorium, it will be closed and this bar will be open and there will be music here. And so if you are hungry, pick up some food now, as long as the bar is open. Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.